Let's stand together this morning for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18 to 25. I want to preach to you this morning on this topic, walking in steps of suffering. Walking in steps of suffering. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18 says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Spirit of God, we ask you to speak to our heart and our spirit now. If we're saved, we believe that you live within us. That's the promise of your word. We're sealed by the Spirit of God. And you've come to indwell us, to live inside of us. And you know what's going on in our heart and life. You know what's going on in our spirit. You know God better than any of us. You know the word of God better than any of us. You authored it. You inspired it. You gave it to us. Spirit of God, would you take your word and use it to speak to our spirit and our heart today and to change us, to help us in our Christian life. Help us to stand strong for Christ, to be walking in the way that you want us to. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated there. This is a very real and applicable passage of Scripture for today. We oftentimes might preach messages, or I've heard messages where we've just focused on, there's several places in Peter where it talks about walking in steps of suffering, but in the context of it, he was referring to a relationship between servants and masters, between employees and employers, and talking about how in the workplace there would be believers, there would be Christians who would maybe suffer wrongfully. They would maybe be persecuted because of some things that they choose to do as a Christian or not do, that for that they might be persecuted. For that they might lose their job. For that they might be criticized, and so on. Peter is teaching servants how to deal with their masters. He's teaching workers how to deal with their boss at work. God is teaching Christians here how to live and how to act and how to stand for Christ in their workplace. But he's also teaching us how to deal with a boss or with an employer or with a co-worker when faced with persecution. How should a believer respond to or deal with being persecuted for what they believe? How should we go about trying to both honor God first, but also to honor our employers? I think we should do both. I think God wants us to. I think we should honor God first and foremost, always, above everything. But we also ought to honor our employer and try to honor our boss at work as much as we possibly can. How can we be a great worker? How can we be a good employee and at the same time also be a good Christian? Let me give you a few ideas for that. First, be a hard worker. Be a hard worker. Let's look back at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And we're going to look at several scriptures. What I have to say is maybe not worthwhile, but I want to show you what God has to say. First thing, be a hard worker. If we want to honor God first, but also honor our boss at work, honor our employer, you be a good worker. Be a good worker. That will honor them. That will please them. Proverbs 10 and verse 26 says this, "As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, slow is the sluggard to them that send him." The sluggard being the lazy person. The lazy person, as smoke to the eyes, as vinegar to the teeth. What is that? That's irritating. Smoke to the eyes is incredibly irritating. He says, well, you know what you are when we're a lazy worker? We're irritating to those that sent us to do the job. We're going to be irritating to those that sent us to work. We need to be good workers. Christians ought to be known as being good workers. Over in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9. It says this, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." He also that is slothful or lazy in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Great waster. We need to be hard workers. We shouldn't waste time. We shouldn't be lazy. We should be diligent about the job. First thing is just be a hard worker. Second thing is this, obey your boss. Turn with me over to the New Testament. We'll say a few other things here, but look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 9. Titus chapter 2 and verse 9. Some of these things ought to be obvious things, but this is going to lay a groundwork, a foundation a little bit, and then we're going to change gears in the message to really try to get back to the book of Peter and study something there. Second thing is this, we need to obey our boss. Seek to please them. Do things the way that they would want you to do them. And I think, well, I got a better way. I know how to do it better than my boss knows how to do it. Okay, when you're the boss, you can do it your way. But right now, they're the boss and you're the employee and you do it their way. You should do things how they want you to do it. Don't talk back to them. Don't always be arguing with them. Titus chapter 2 and verse 9 says this, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again." That's not talking back. Not always arguing. Just seek to please them. Do things the way they want you to do things. Exhort servants to be obedient. Verse 9 there. Then look over at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22 to 24. It says this, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." So why should you obey your masters? Why should you obey your boss? Why should you be a good worker? Because you want to please God. Because you want to please God. Verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." You put your heart into it. You give your best in that workplace. You give your best in your job, not just for man's sake, but for the Lord's sake. Tells us to do that. Verse 24, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." We should obey our bosses, seek to please them, do things the way they want us to, be a hard worker. Let me give you a third thing. Give a fair day's work. Give a fair day's work. In Romans 13:8, it says, "Owe no man anything." You know what people cry a lot today is about wanting fair pay. Wanting fair pay. If the Lord tarries his coming, we'll eventually get to a day and age where the work week will be cut from 5 days down to 4 days. And the wages and benefits will be even higher. That'll come. Why? Because man wants to work less. Man wants to get more. That is the way the world is becoming. People want fair pay. You know what? Christians should be known for giving a fair day's work. Giving a fair day's work. Show up early, work hard, be productive for your company. Don't quit till it's quitting time. Don't clock out early. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 tells us to not be slothful or lazy in business. We should work hard. You know what? It applies to anybody, to adults in their job, how to work hard, whether you're making salary or getting paid hourly. I know how teenagers work. I worked in some restaurants, and teenagers knew that if they could get paid up through a certain time, they could get paid up through 5 o'clock by clocking out at 4:53. They would do that. You know, the employers would have to round it to the nearest quarter hour and so on. Listen, the young people would do everything possible to try to get by with doing a little bit less. And we shouldn't be like that. In any job you do, do your best for your employer. Do your best because it'll be pleasing to God. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. We should work hard. Work hard. If we want to both honor God and honor our boss, honor our employer, be a hard worker. Obey them. Give a fair day's work. Here's another good idea. Pray for your boss. Pray for your boss. Look what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you find that with me. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll look there at verses 1 to 4. Pray for your boss. They could use your prayers. Your boss may be saved. Your boss may not be saved, but they need somebody praying for them. They need somebody caring for them. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 4, it says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. That's your boss. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, you'll get along better with your boss probably if you'll start praying for them. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you thank God for your boss? It says, first of all, thanks. I exhort therefore the first of all supplication of prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Can you thank God for your boss? I mean, could you actually go to prayer and spend some time thanking God for your boss, thanking God for your employer? Can you pray for their salvation? They need somebody interceding for them. The Bible says that it's good and acceptable. It's God's will that every person be saved. Even that unsaved boss. Say, oh, they're hired. They never get saved. I know what they're like. God wants them to be saved. Pray for their salvation. Pray for God to bless them and their family. They need somebody interceding for them. They need somebody supplicating for them. Would you pray for God? Would you please bless my boss? Would you please bless their company? Bless their family? Bless their life? And sometimes you may know some things about their family and their struggles and so on. They need somebody praying for them. Can you intercede in prayer for their needs, for their troubles? Maybe you know that there's some difficulties with work or with the business. Maybe there's some difficulties you know of in their family or with their teenagers or with their marriage or whatever. Pray for them. Pray for them. It could do a world of good for you to pray for your boss. Let me give you a fifth idea. Submit to your employer in every area possible. Submit to your employer in every area possible. But take your stand for Christ in some areas where the Word of God or the Holy Spirit of God or your conscience teach you to do differently. Let's go back to 1 Peter there, chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 13. I want you to see something here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse, we're going to start back in verse 13. Submit to your employer in every area where you possibly can. If there's any opportunity to submit, do it. But when it comes to taking your stand for Christ in certain areas, because the Word of God, the Spirit of God wants you to do something a certain way, then you do what God wants you to do. 1 Peter 2, 13 to 20 says this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Say, I got a bad boss. He says, okay, even to the froward. Even to the one that's not a good boss. Even to the one that is a little bit unkind. He says, you be good to them as well. You be gentle to them as well. You serve them as well. You honor them as well. You obey them as well. They're your boss. You serve them well. He says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. But what if you're persecuted at work for doing what you believe God wants you to do? Well, verses 19 and 20 give us an answer there for what we should do. Do what God wants you to do. Do what God wants. In every area possible, try to honor your boss. In every area possible, try to honor them because they're the authority. They're the one in charge. And you do everything you can to please them as you're trying to please God. And if you suffer, because he says, if you suffer for being a lazy worker, you lose your job for being a lazy worker, well, that's on you. That's your problem. We shouldn't suffer wrongfully. He says, if you're going to suffer, let it be because you've just taken your stand for Christ. You've honored God. You've been a good worker. Maybe there's some things that you will do or won't do in your workplace that because of what the Bible teaches and so on. What should we do? What should we do? We honor our employer in every way we possibly can. But we're always to honor and please God first and foremost. Let me give you some examples. You might think, well, what kind of things are you talking about? There might be a lot of different things. But I thought of four examples of where your decision to obey God rather than your boss might create some friction. Your decision to obey God rather than to obey your boss might create some ridicule. You might be persecuted because you decide as a Christian, I can't do that, or I won't do that, or I'm going to do this. Let me give you a few examples. Number one is this: working in a restaurant but not being willing to serve alcohol. Maybe working a job in a restaurant but not being willing to serve alcohol. Habakkuk 2:15 says this: woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink. You know, the Bible gives some warnings about alcohol and liquor, but the principle taught in that one verse may give us a conviction that I'm not going to serve alcohol to others. I need this job. I need a good job and so on. But in my job there, I won't serve alcohol. But we'll have to get somebody else. There's somebody at my table that wants alcohol. Somebody else will have to serve it. I won't do that. Because of a Bible principle that would give me the conviction that I won't serve alcohol to someone else. You know what? That could create some friction. That could create some ridicule. That could create some persecution in the workplace. But God says, if you suffer wrongfully for having done right, so be it. So be it. Here's another thing. How about this? Not being willing to work on Sundays. Not being willing to work on Sundays. There's a lot of jobs nowadays where they put a lot of pressure. You got to work on Sundays. Everybody's got to take their turn working on Sundays. Now you're going to have to do it. But for you to say, I'm a Christian, I'm sorry, I can't work on Sundays. Sundays is the Lord's day. I've got to honor the Lord. I've got to be in church on Sundays. I'm not going to do that. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't want to forsake that assembling together. I've got to be in church on Sundays. I cannot work on Sundays. You know what? When I was a teenager even, and I started working at Ponderosa Steakhouse in Aurelia, you know what? There were some times I told them I couldn't work on Sundays, but when some schedules first started being made, they'd have me scheduled on Sundays. I said to them, I told you I can't work on Sundays. Okay? So I didn't show up, or I didn't go. I would call and tell them, I wouldn't just not show up. But, you know, I'm not going to be there. I can't work on Sundays. And you know what? There were some that probably ridiculed it, some that thought, oh, come on, everybody needs to work on Sundays. But I didn't, because that was my belief. That was going to be my conviction. You know what? I didn't do bad. You know what I did well as a teenager? I was the youngest kid in there working in that restaurant. But they respected me that I worked hard and did a good job there. And I got to work a lot of shifts and work a lot of closing shifts. Even as being one of the youngest teenagers, they respected me for that. And I had responsibility and got to work more hours. Sometimes there's a little bit of a competition almost like that in restaurants where they have lots of teenagers and stuff. I'm glad for what I got. They respected that. Some might ridicule, but you take your stand that I'm not going to work on Sundays. You might have that conviction to honor the Lord's day and to be faithful to church. What about another thing? Deciding to not wear pants or immodest clothing, even if that's the work uniform. You know, there are some places that might want to challenge you to wear a very immodest work uniform. Well, this is what we're all going to wear today, or this is just the uniform of this workplace. You know, at 1 Timothy 2:9, it says that God desires women that would adorn themselves in modest apparel. And verse 10 says that is becoming for a woman who professes godliness. Deuteronomy says that the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither shall a man put on a women's garment. We're living in a generation where you got transvestites, you got all kinds of people, and it's commonplace where clothing, they've tried to make it gender neutral and just say this is for men, this is for women. And you got, of course, people that are supposed to be men that are dressing like women, and women sometimes dressing like men, and all kinds of things. For you to say, you know what, I've got a conviction based on some Bible principles that I wouldn't dress a certain way, and I couldn't dress or wear a uniform that would be immodest and be revealing and so on. I just could not do that. You know what, for you to take your stand for Christ and say, I cannot do that. God says, if you suffer wrongfully for your right doing, it's the will of God. And you just endure that, you go through that. Let me give you another example. Turn with me back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 8:21. What about this? Not handling money or merchandise or records dishonestly, even if the boss wants you to. Deciding that you're not going to handle money or merchandise or records dishonestly, even if the boss wants you to. Boy, they think, well, that's a good chance to lose your job. Well, maybe. But you do what's right. At least your boss will know that they've got one honest employee. They've got an employee who's not going to steal from them. They've got an employee who's not going to cheat on them. Even if they would try to get you to be honest, we should not be willing to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 21 tells us this. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. In Romans 12, 17, it says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know what? We ought to always do things that would be honest. We shouldn't ever be willing to, well, I'll handle it deceitfully. I'll handle it dishonestly because they want me to. No, you might have to take your stand that I've got to do what honors the Lord and pleases God, to be honest in all things. How should you respond, though, if you get persecuted? What if for one of those four examples that I gave or some other thing, you've got a principle, you've got a Bible conviction that says, well, I can't work on Sundays, or I couldn't wear that uniform, I'll have to wear this. You know, when I was a teenager, there was a lot of girls that, you know, the work uniform at the Harvey's restaurant was going to call for them to wear such and such, but they didn't do that. The girls from the church I grew up in, several of them worked there. They didn't wear that uniform. They got permission to wear what they wanted to wear and wear something more modest. You know what? They were good testimony there. That restaurant then enjoyed and loved hiring people from our church. One of the girls there even found her husband there and won a guy to Christ that became her husband. We got to always seek to make sure we have do what pleases the Lord and honors the Lord. But what if in some cases you're persecuted for that? How should you respond? How would you deal with it if you suffer ridicule, or if you lose a promotion, or, you know, you don't get maybe some things that truthfully it seemed like you should have got that promotion before somebody else, or whatever it may be? How do you deal with it if there's persecution that comes, or ridicule, or whatever it may be? First is this: remember, we ought to please God and not man. Remember that. It'll help you. We ought to please God and not man. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We ought to seek to please God and not men. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 6 says this: not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Acts 5:29 says we ought to obey God rather than men. What if you suffer some persecution? What if you suffer some ridicule? Is it worth it? What should I do? How should I respond? Always remember this thought. Remember this Bible truth. We ought to please God rather than men. No matter what it may bring, even if I'm persecuted, if I maybe suffer a little bit for having taken my stand to do right, please God, not man. We ought to please God and not man. Let me give you a second thing. Be thankful. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? If you suffer ridicule, be thankful. The Bible said there in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. For this is thankworthy. In other words, this is worthy of thanks. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God, because you want to please God, because you've got some Bible convictions that cause you to say, I won't do that, or I've got to do it this way, he says it's worthy of thanks. If because of that, because of your conviction to do right, you endure grief, you do suffer wrongfully, we ought to give thanks. Be thankful. Be thankful that you've pleased and glorified the Lord by your actions. You've done what is acceptable to God, as verse 20 talks about. Be thankful that you were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Be thankful. Let me give you a third thing. Remember, you're following in the steps of Christ. Again, if you suffer wrongfully because of your conviction, because of your desire to do right, goes on in verse 21 and says this: for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Remember, you're following in the steps of Christ. We're walking in steps of suffering. You say, well, what if I'm going to have to suffer for that? Is it worth it?
Paul says, ye were even hereunto called. We're to walk in the steps of Christ, and sometimes that may mean walking in steps of suffering. You may be persecuted. You may be ridiculed. You may be mocked because of, well, this is my conviction. I've got to do this as I follow Christ. Christ was mocked. Christ was reviled. Christ was spat upon. Christ was crucified. He had done nothing wrong. But yet he suffered persecution for our sake so that we might be saved. Can I tell you this? When you respond with patience and grace and love and forgiveness like Christ did, you don't, well, I'm going to get the labor board on you. You can't do this. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to do this or that. Or, you know, or you begin to revile and you begin to attack back because you feel like maybe somebody's attacking you. No, we can't be like that. When you respond with patience and grace and love and forgiveness like Christ did, perhaps that will eventually lead to someone else's salvation. Thank God it led to your salvation. If we got what we deserved, we'd be lost. But thank God for his grace and patience and love and forgiveness he showed. Hey, remember you're following in the steps of Christ. Let me give you a fourth thing. Do not respond with unkindness. Do not respond with unkindness. We see it there in the things we read about Christ. He had done nothing wrong. He was suffering wrongfully. He didn't deserve to go to the cross. He didn't deserve to be persecuted like that. He didn't deserve to suffer like that. But when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he didn't threaten them. He didn't, you know, try to take vengeance upon them, to get even with them, to try to judge them. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. We're not to repay evil for evil. Verse 18 of that chapter says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Sure, it'd be easy to want to burn in our wrath and get angry, and what am I going to do? This isn't fair. I don't deserve to be suffer like this or be mistreated like this. But he says, don't give place to wrath. Let God take care of it. Vengeance is mine. In Romans 12:21, he goes on and says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't respond with unkindness. Respond with kindness. That's how God says to handle it. Don't respond with being unkind. Respond with being kind. Don't return evil for evil or wrong for wrong. Respond by doing right. Respond by doing good, even unto those that have hurt you. Fourth thing is this, how should we deal with it if maybe we do suffer a little persecution? What if we do suffer wrongfully because we take a stand as a Christian in the workplace that says, I can't do that. I won't do that. Don't respond with unkindness, even if you're treated unkindly. How should we respond to persecution? How should we deal with situations or treat people if we're ridiculed or belittled or persecuted in our workplace because of our beliefs? Number one, remember we ought to please God, not man. Number two, be thankful, knowing that you have pleased and glorified the Lord by your actions. Number three, remember you're following in the steps of Christ. He suffered for our sake, even though he didn't deserve it. Number four, do not respond with unkindness. Jesus set an example for us of showing love and showing grace and showing forgiveness. Number five, remember why it was in the first place that you stood firm or held your convictions. This is an important one. Number five is this. Remember why it was in the first place that you stood firm or held to your convictions. Go back to 1 Peter 2, back to verse number 9. 1 Peter 2, 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, your way of living, honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify your God in the day of salvation. Remember something, we're the people of God. We're the people of God. We're a peculiar people. We're a peculiar people. The world may think, boy, you're strange. Boy, there's something different about you. But hey, we are called to be the children of light. We're not to be as children of this world. We are to be different. We're God's people. We're strangers in the world. There's an old song that says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And that's true. We're to be different. Why is it that I'd hold to that conviction? Well, because we're supposed to be the people of God. He calls us out to be different from the world. And stand, hold true to your convictions, no matter what ridicule or suffering it may bring. Let me give you a sixth thing quickly, and we're just going to look at a couple things there in Peter and be finished there. Number six, remember that if you respond properly, it may give you a better opportunity to witness for Christ, to share the gospel. If you respond properly to suffering wrongfully, if you respond properly to maybe some persecution and ridicule, it may give you a better opportunity to witness for Christ and to share the gospel. In 1 Peter there, over in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, it says this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Peter told them, you know what? There may be some that persecute. There may be some that ridicule. But they're going to know inside that, boy, there's something different. There's something different. The reason why they stand like they do, why they have that conviction. Why don't they, when I mistreat them, why don't they respond with anger? When some of their co-workers even ridicule them and kind of talk mean to them because they take their stand for what they're going to do and that they're going to do right, they'll notice. And he says, you be ready to give an answer. Somebody's going to come to you and somebody's going to ask, what's the reason why you're doing what you're doing? What's the reason for that hope within you? What's the reason for why you don't respond like we... Why don't you treat us like we treat you? And it'll give you an opportunity to witness for Christ. Tell others about Christ. Remember that if you respond properly, it may give you a better opportunity to witness for Christ and to share the gospel. And last thing is this. Remember, it's better to have a good conscience, knowing you've done what was right, rather than to compromise so that you might avoid suffering. Remember, it's better to have a good conscience. It's better to have your conscience clear and your conscience clean, knowing that, hey, I've done what was right, rather than to say, well, I compromised what I believed. I compromised my convictions. I said, well, it's okay. They want me to do, I'll do what they want. It's more important that you have a clear conscience and a pure conscience and a clean conscience and know, I've done what was right. I've done what God wanted me to do, rather than a compromise. Just, well, I don't think I want that suffering. I don't want the ridicule. I couldn't afford to ever lose this job. I need promotion might go to somebody else, and I need that. My family needs that. We need that money. And wouldn't it be better to have a good conscience and say, I know I did what God wanted me to do, no matter what the outcome? He goes on there in 1 Peter 3 and verse 16 and 17 and says this, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. It's important you keep that good conscience. How should we respond? How should we deal with situations? How should we treat people if we're ridiculed or belittled or persecuted in our workplace? Because you've taken a stand for Christ and said, I can't do that. That would be dishonest. I can't do that. I believe I should do this. I couldn't wear that uniform. I can't work on Sunday. I can't. Whatever it may be. Whatever it is that the Spirit of God or the Word of God would give you conviction about, that this is what is right, this is what God wants. Remember, we ought to please God, not man. Be thankful knowing you've pleased and glorified the Lord by your actions. Remember, you're following in the steps of Christ. He suffered for our sake, even though we didn't deserve it. Do not respond with unkindness. Remember why it was in the first place that you stood firm or held your convictions. Because you're one of the people of God. Number six, remember that if you respond properly, it may give you a better opportunity to witness for Christ and to share the gospel. Then last, number seven, remember it's better to have a good conscience, knowing you've done what was right,
rather than to compromise so that you might avoid suffering. Does God want you to be nasty and give problems to your boss? No, No, he doesn't. Before I gave you five things and said, hey, God wants this. God wants you to honor your employer, be a good worker, do the best you possibly can. But there might come some times, some things, some areas where you've got to take a stand. Because you've got convictions from the Word of God and you're standing for Christ. I couldn't do that, or I've got to do this, or I couldn't do something that way. I couldn't go to that thing that you want me to go to. You take your stand for Christ. God will be honored by that. God will be pleased. And you do what is right. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to be Christians of conviction. Help us to take our stand for the Lord Jesus, no matter what it means, no matter what the outcome.